Matthew 5:13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. This morning we want to look at this thought, ye are the salt of the earth. I want us to see first of all in Matthew 5:13 the picture to emphasize. Jesus has just finished his introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. We know that is called the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are the attitudes that ought to be. They are about our Christian character and about our Christian conduct. And when Christian character and Christian conduct is in place in the life of believers, then are you considered the salt of the earth. Now, Jesus is no stranger to salt. He created it. He's Creator God. I was thinking about the Dead Sea. It has 10 times the amount of salt in the Dead Sea than any other sea, and nobody has ever been able to sink or drown in that sea. In fact, the Roman Emperor Vespasian would take slaves and bind their hands and their feet and cast them into the Dead Sea, and they floated to the top. It used to make him so angry. I want to say that Jesus knows about the salt. Now, there's some attributes of salt this morning that we need to study, and it is a picture to emphasize this salt. Jesus is using everyday things to bring to light spiritual truth, and this salt is what's got to be in our lives as well. I want you to consider that salt is pure. Now, I went over to our fellowship hall, and I got one of these salt shakers. And that salt in the shaker there is very powerful, but it's a whole lot better when it's out of the shaker. Amen? And this salt this morning, just a few crystals of salt, it's glistening white. And it's very, very pure. And white always represents purity. Now the Jews offered sacrifices to the Lord in the Old Testament. And their sacrifices were offered with salt, because salt is considered to be pure. The Christian is to be the salt of the earth, as the Christian should be an example of purity to a lost and carnal world. There should be purity in our speech, in our character, in our conduct, and in our attitude. There should be purity in our sacrifice. Preacher, what sacrifice? Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When you present yourself to God, you want to make sure that you're presenting yourself as pure. Amen? Now, the saltiness of the sea prevents corruption in the sea. Can you imagine all the waste and all the things that would be in the sea? But the amount of salt that's in the sea purifies the sea. Do you realize that you can take salt? Used to, the old timers would put salt in a wound, and oh yes, it'll burn, but the purity of it will promote healing inside that wound as it burns out the infection. I remember in the Old Testament, the man of God, Elisha, was called to a certain city, and the water there was barren or not or bitter. And so he took a new cruse of salt and he threw salt inside the springs of that water, and the waters were purified and the waters were healed. Salt is pure. Our lives should be pure. Salt is also powerful. Now it's very small. You see a few little crystals of salt. It's very small, but it's very powerful and it's very influential. I might say this, a little salt goes a long way. And if you could offer society a little salt in your Christian walk, it will go a long way. Salt will penetrate whatever it contacts. This morning I stepped over the fellowship hall to get this salt shaker. And as I picked it up, I put a little in my hand and I wiped it out. And as I walked over, my eyebrow started to itch. And as I scratched, I got salt in my eyes. That quick, it started penetrating. And I felt myself tearing up. And it started to burn inside my eye. Salt penetrates whatever that it contacts. A Christian needs to influence the world rather than the world influencing the Christian. A Christian's got to be a thermostat where you set the temperature of what's going on around you rather than being a thermometer where you're gauging the temperature of others that are around you. Some people believe they can reach the lost world by living a lifestyle like the world. It won't work. The only way you're going to reach the world is to live a life as Jesus lived. That's the way you will reach the world. I thought about this shaker this morning. You've got to shake it to get a little bit of that salt out. I wonder, does the salt that's in your life, you are the salt of the world, is the salt of the earth, is the salt coming out of you? Woodrow Wilson, a former president, said this before he was president. Said he'd gone to get a haircut, and when he was in that room, those men were gossiping worse than women ever thought about. Talking about this and talking about that, but a man entered the room. And when this certain man entered the room, the entire conversation changed. Finally, it was his turn to get a haircut. The man got in the barber's chair, and before you knew it, he had the complete attention of everybody inside the barbershop. And Woodrow Wilson said, by the time that man left, we thought we had been at an evangelistic meeting. He said, in fact, when Mr. D.L. Moody left the room that day, he said, I kind of hung around and it elevated everybody's talk to spiritual thinking and to spiritual heights. You see, when Mr. Moody simply went to get a haircut, he had a little salt being shaken out of his life. Hey, is it like that where you go? Or are you helping set the temperature in the room in which you enter? Are you setting it for righteousness or for wickedness? Amen. You know what the Morton Salt Company said? I looked this up. They said the biggest problem they have in the salt industry is that the salt causes their inactive machines to rust. You and I have to be active Christians. If we'll be active, we will not rust. We've got to learn to use our influence. There, you have an influence. You have an impact that you can make on society. You've got to learn to use it for the glory of God. The influence, though you may think it's small, it's very powerful today. Salt also preserves. It is the most common of all preservatives. Years ago, there was no freezers. Years ago, there was no refrigerators. Salt, you know what it does? It stops rot and it stops decay. It stops corruption. My grandpa, he used to go and we would cure a ham out every year and put it in the old smokehouse, and he would rub salt all over that ham as he hung it in the old smokehouse there to stop or arrest decay and corruption. Do you realize today that Christians are supposed to be the salt of the earth and we are supposed to be arresting the decay of our society? Evidently, we're not doing our job because our society grows more and more corrupt every day. Obviously, we're not getting the salt out of the shakers the way we're supposed to. I think about Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember that story. And we're living in days just like Sodom and Gomorrah was. And you remember how Abraham prayed? He said, Lord, would you spare it for 50 righteous? Lord said, I would. 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. Would you spare it for 10 righteous people? God said, I'll spare Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 righteous people. For 10 little crystals of salt in that city, righteous people, I'll spare it. And you know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? 10 righteous people could not be found in those two cities, and they were destroyed by fire and brimstone. Friend, what would righteousness do in our nation? The Bible says in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Friend, I'm telling you, our churches have got to get the salt out of the shaker. He still says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by
my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Friend, God's people called by God's name, we got to start praying. We've got to get the salt out of the shaker. The church has a preserving effect on society. Salt is also precious. At one time, salt was very highly valued, and it should still be very highly valued today. The early Indians fought over salt springs. Did you know when Columbus was sailing and looking to discover, you know what he's looking for? He was looking for salt. What about that? Most people won't tell you that. During the Civil War, the North took the factories for salt in Virginia from the South and stopped us from being able to process the salt which is found in Louisiana. And when the North took those two elements away from the South had suffered an agonizing defeat. They were in total shutdown over salt. The Germans waged war for salt streams. In ancient times, salt cakes served as money. Did you know that the Roman soldiers were given a money allowance called a salarium? And that salarium was for salt money. That's what it was. And the term salarium is where we get our term salary. Have any of y'all got a salary? Then it means that you have been worth your salt. Somebody say amen. Because I could have said not worth your salt. Amen. Salt regulates the heartbeat inside your body, and it controls the amount of fluid that's inside your system. Salt is precious in hot climates because when the body gets in a hot climate and it wants to cramp up, it's salt that prevents you from cramping. The world today does not consider salt as a precious commodity, but friends, salt is very necessary. Hey, the world today laughs and scoffs at Christians. But what they don't realize is the salt is necessary and should be precious to our society in which we live. No wonder Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." Salt is also pleasant. Now, you ought to amen me a lot right here. Salt is pleasant. Salt brings out flavor in food. Popcorn and French fries would not taste as good as they do without good old salt on top of that popcorn and French fries. In fact, most foods would be very bland and tasteless were it not for a good old dose of salt. You know, that's biblical. Job chapter 6, verse number 6 says, "Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt?" Do you understand that the Christian gives flavor to life? When the godly Christian is in a world that surrounds him, he should bring out the best and some zest in others that are around him. As salt helps the body to heal, so must the Christian helps promote spiritual healing. As salt is used to melt ice on the roadways, so should the Christian be used to stop the coldness, spiritually speaking, in our society. We should be warmed up, but our problem is we want to stay in the shaker. The professing Christian who is sour, stingy, selfish, cranky, complaining, criticizing, and cantankerous is not helping us at all. The Christian should bring a seasoning effect to all those that are around him or her. In a depressed world, a Christian should be able to promote joy and encouragement to others around him. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech be always seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." You know what else salt does? It promotes thirst. You see, the more salt someone tastes or eats, the thirstier they get. Let me tell you the dairy farmer's secret. The dairy farmer will put a salt lick out on his farm, And the cattle love to lick on that salt lick. And because it tastes so good. But what it does is it makes them thirstier. So they drink more water. The dairy farmer knows the more salt they lick and the more water they drink, the more milk they produce. Amen. You know what the Christian should be doing? We should be living for the Lord in such a manner that we promote thirst for all those around us, saying, I want to get what they've got. I want to get closer to God like they are. The Bible says in John 7:38, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his bellies shall flow waters of living water. You see, our love, our compassion, our courage, our consistency for Christ should create a thirst for the Lord in others around us. But it's not going to happen if your salt is staying in the shaker. Salt promotes. You realize when you work hard, you perspire. I know some of you thought, what is this substance coming from my forehead? But when you do, sometimes it may run down and you taste it a little bit. You know, it's got a salty taste to it, doesn't it? Hey, when you're working hard, you begin to sweat, and that sweat has salt in it. Hey, guess what? The reason you don't see a lot of salt in Christians is they're not doing anything for God. It's all they can do to try to live a little bit, much less work for Him and serve Him, friend. You don't see any salty Christians anymore. You don't see any sweaty, salty Christians for the Lord, do we? The Bible says to me as a preacher that I ought to be laboring in the Word of God. The Bible challenges me in 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders that rule well be counted of double honor, especially they who labor in the Word and doctrine. My theory is this. Many of you work. You work your fingers to the bone to give a little tithe of this church. Friend, I should study the Scriptures, be on my knees praying about it until it wears me out from studying, wears my knees out from praying, amen, that I might come to preach the Word of God to a people. Friend, I want to encourage you. Let's see the picture that we need to emphasize and get the salt out of our shaker. Number two this morning, there is a problem that we need to evaluate. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Now, the best I can figure, the chemical properties of a crystal of salt cannot change on its own. The Lord is speaking about salt that has lost its zest due to exposure to elements or contamination. Friend, I'm telling you something. This world will try to ruin your testimony and your reputation. But if you'll live for Jesus and live a pure life, things are going to be all right. He says, if the salt have lost its savor. What is savor? It's influence. It's testimony. It's witness. It's power. All of us know somebody who's lost their testimony for the Lord. We ought to aim never to do that. Every time we see it, we ought to say, I don't want to be part of that. But your testimony, your influence, your salt can be ruined by sinful living. It can be ruined by compromise. Amen? You compromise the book. You compromise your backbone. Compromise your bride. Amen? You're going to be in bad shape. Amen. What are a few things that could cause me as salt to lose my savor? Disobedience. You can lose your spiritual and moral savor by disobeying the commands of God. Lot's wife was told, you leave Sodom and Gomorrah and you do not look behind you. But as she started lingering for the things of this world, and when she turned around, she was turned into a pillar of salt. She was completely ruined, her testimony lost. Why? because she was disobedient to God's command. You realize your selfishness and your stubbornness and your just your own selfish ways is going to ruin your testimony for the Lord. What else, preacher? What about your discontention? What do you mean, preacher? I'm talking about a person who's angry or prone to get so angry and becomes bitter. And when you get upset, the object of your anger gets your complete attention. You're not focused on spiritual things. You're focused on worldly things. Bitterness poisons your spirit. Hatred consumes us. And sooner or later, you're going to vent your anger. And you're going to vent it publicly. And when you do, you're going to ruin the savor of the salt God's given you. Others who observe your anger, they're not going to have any respect for you anymore. And the reason they can't hear what you're trying to tell them is because your actions are screaming something different. We all been around folk like that. Says, oh yes, what a wonderful Christian I am, and I have a real walk with God, but their actions are screaming something different. The problem is they've lost their savor. James 1:26 speaks about this. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart, and this man's religion is vain. Mark 9:50 says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith shall you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace one with another. If you're fussing and fighting and bitter and angry, you're losing the savor of your salt. You're losing the influence and the power you once had. What about distractions? Many people today are consumed by earthly things. You're driven by things that are carnal. You're distracted by people, distracted by power, distracted by position. Many times money becomes a priority in your life. And that's all you want to fuss and fight about is money, 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 money. Let me tell you something. The devil will raise those distractions up to get your focus off the things of God back on things in the world. And one of the ways the devil does it is in the church. He gets us focused on the wrong things. Hey man, I know, yes, we do need to count attendance. And I know, yes, we do need to count offerings. And I know, yes, there's a business side of it. But if that is our main focus, we're missing it. Because we must be concerned for the souls of men and the well-being of others around us and worshiping the Lord our God. But if our only reason here is to count, we're in bad shape. Anything, I can't get off this, anything that concerns you more than serving the Lord is a misplaced priority. I'll ask you a question. This person who's focused on the wrong thing, if they're drowning, you listening to me? If a man is drowning, can he rescue somebody else? If a man is focused on earthly things, can he give spiritual help? Amen. It's not going to happen, friend. So I thought about these whales. There was 40 whales swimming. They were chasing sardines. And the whales became marooned in shallow water in a bay. They were chasing those small fish and lost focus of where they were and got distracted. And all 40 of those great sea giants drowned because they were pursuing small things. December 29th, 1972, Flight 401 out of New York City, flying to Miami, approaches the airport. They put down the landing gear, but the green light that says the landing gear is deployed did not come on. So they think, rather than land and not know if the landing gear's down, we're going to fly over the Everglades in a great big circle. And the engineer started taking the light assembly apart and the bulb was stuck. They sent the second officer downstairs to find out visually if the landing gear had been deployed. And while he was away, the captain and others started fidgeting, trying to get the bulb out, not knowing the plane is losing altitude, and they crashed in the Everglades and 101 people tragically lost their lives because of a light that was out. Come to find out, the voice recorder, that black box, revealed that the landing gear was down. A 75-cent light bulb cost 101 people their lives because they got distracted. Church, bless God, don't get distracted off of Jesus Christ. He's why we're here. He's who we serve. He is the preeminent one in our lives. And if you're not careful, you'll start chasing small things and things that don't really matter, and we're going to lose the whole thing over trivial matters. Don't lose your savor. Stay focused on right things. Thirdly, this morning we'll be done. Jesus said, "It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men." There is a punishment to escape. Jesus said that salt that has lost its savor or its influence or its power, Jesus said that it's good for nothing. His little boy said, "Mommy, would you give me a dollar for being good?" She said, "Son, why don't you be like your daddy? He's good for nothing." Good for nothing means useless. What a tragic word to become useless for God. In fact, there's a triple warning here. It's good for nothing. It's going to be cast out. It's going to be trodden under the foot of men. This statement's not about losing your salvation. Some people preach that. That's not what it is. It's about losing your influence. It's about losing your testimony. It's about losing your spiritual power for the Lord. Hey, when salt goes through a chemical change of composition, it loses its savor. But if you throw it in a field, you hear what I'm going to tell you, this is deep. If you throw that field, or that salt that's lost its savor in a field, it'll still burn up that field. You won't grow grass or any other crop there. Did y'all get that? If the salt, which is us, has lost its savor, and God leaves it in His field, it'll be dead all the way around Him. That's why God says the best thing can happen is I pick up that salt that's lost its savor, and rather than kill everything else that's in the field, I take it and throw it out in the street where it'll be trodden under the foot of men. Good for nothing. Cast out. Useless. And to be trodden under the foot of men. God help, what a tragedy. I thought about years ago, went and bought a tube of caulk. And I was going to use this caulk, you know, around my kitchen there, and I caulked a little while. And I thought, well, I've got a little extra. Put some in the bathroom, you know, and I caulked everything I had in the house, and I still had half a tube of caulk left. Got a cap on it, and it'll save. I put the cap on it, put it up, said, when I have a need for that, I'll go back and get it. About 6 or 7 months later, I had a need for that caulk. I went back to get it. Bless God, I couldn't get the cap off of it. It had stuck to it. The stuff is harder than a brick. Couldn't use it. Had to take, listen, what can you do with hard caulk? I took it and I threw it in a garbage can and hauled it off to the trash dump. And as far as I know, it's in the crusher. Got kicked off to a landfill somewhere. It was caulk that was one time useful and now it's worthless. And I had to get a brand new tube of caulk. Hey, if the salt has lost its savor, it's only good to be what? The Bible says it's good for nothing. It's good to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Maybe you're here today and you said, "Boy, I tell you what, preacher, I've messed my life up. I've seriously hurt my testimony. Preacher, that's the way I feel. I feel good for nothing." And what can you tell me now that I know I'm good for nothing? Well, first of all, you got to remember there's forgiveness in Jesus. Amen. He can make you brand new. He does it all the time, make you a new creature. He can turn you back into salt again. Second of all, you need to understand that Christians are supposed to be forgiven. And if we'll forgive each other And as the Lord forgives, things are going to go a whole lot smoother. Hey, your behavior may have hurt your testimony, but God can still use you.